Welcome back to our live broadcast at Tanglewood. We are pleased to report that the lights are back on.
For a while, anyway.
Thank God. So we're going to mix things up just a little bit, and so we're going to be passing some notes here, and we'll figure out. But we are thrilled because our good friend Tony Fogg is here. Tanglewood, of course, is a name that's recognized around the world, and pretty much every time we hear an interview or interview a conductor or musician, they mention the venue's reputation and cachet. There's a hardworking team of professionals that keeps Tanglewood on the lips of both audience members and performers, and the man behind the music is the BSO's artistic administrator, Tony Fogg. Tony, thank you very much, and welcome back to the program.
Pleased to be here, as always.
So, Tony, we don't have a lot of time because of the events, but I wanted to ask you something.
Well, we may have more.
Oh, good.
We may be buying time.
Oh, good, good. As yes. Jack Benny would say. So my question real quickly is this. One of the things that I always love about you is that when the crisis happens, you and somebody, a diva can't show up or something like that, you always have to find somebody else. Has that happened this summer?
It happened big time last weekend. No diva, a bass singer, a rather important conductor, and a rather important conductor pianist.
Oh, so let's talk about the Andras Nelson thing. I mean, that is. I mean, you had some time. I mean, if anything, at least you had a couple days.
Well, not really, even Joe.
I was trying to make it like sound a little bit better, but I guess it's too soon for you to talk about it.
No. I got just if people are interested in the chronology, I got word on Sunday night that he'd had some sort of accident and hit his head, and we weren't sure what was going to happen. By Monday morning, I got a call maybe 5:30 in the morning from his manager in Europe saying they'd done a whole series of tests and he had concussion. So we, at that point, you just go into replacement mode.
Now, we should point out to everybody who may not know that this is the new conductor of the Boston
Symphony. Yeah, it's the recently announced music director-to-be of the Boston Symphony, Andras Nelson, who begins his tenure as music director-designate this September and takes up the job in its full glory in fall of 2014.
And I mentioned to Mark Volpe that a guy named Alex Beam has written a column saying that the conductors of the Boston Symphony are cursed with a curse of the Bambino. Do you believe this?
Well, my mother in Australia has a theory that it's actually all of the conductors who we didn't appoint as music director who have been conspiring.
I'm sure you don't subscribe to that theory. However, there are days that you have, or moments in the day that you have to think, okay, they're working against me.
Yeah, sometimes. And to get a sort of triple whammy as we did last weekend is somewhat unusual. And you think what's gone wrong here, but you can't dwell on that. You just have to get on and sort out the problems and find replacements.
Does it make, I mean, considering people travel to be here, is it an understanding audience that once they come in and they say, oh, there's going to be someone different conducting, there's going to be someone different performing tonight?
Yeah, look,
tonight.
It's sort of challenging for all parties. For us, of course, we have to find the solution. Then the orchestra has to adjust to the idea that there might be a change of repertoire or, you know, a personality that they haven't met before, conducting personality, or that they may have been preparing for a certain approach, and that has to. And then, of course, the audience. I don't know whether we got too much pushback from the audience. There was a lot of disappointment, of course, but you know, we pretty much maintained the programming that we'd advertised, and I think that's an important.
Who was the conductor that took the place?
It was a youngish conductor by the name of Carlo Montanaro, who happened to be, he's Italian, obviously, based in Florence, and happened to be in the States. He was finishing up some performances at a festival in California. So when we were busily checking around, finding out who was about and the options, his name came up, and we, through his manager, tracked him down. He was having a few days vacation in San Francisco and had to literally get him on the plane the next day. So that was it.
Fantastic.
And had he ever been with the BSO before?
No. And he's sort of relatively early in his conducting career. He was a violinist in the orchestra of the opera in in Florence, started just to do a little bit of conducting, and Zubin Mehta, in fact, was the one who spotted him and said, "Buddy, you're really a conductor. You've got to pursue this." And his career has taken off pretty quickly, mainly in opera, and he's had some big successes with the Seattle Opera here in this country and other big opera houses around the world. So that's his sort of thing. And so if you're looking for someone for the Verdi Requiem, he's got all of the credentials one needs.
So from his perspective, getting a call from the BSO to be in Tanglewood, that's a huge deal.
That's a pretty big deal,
yeah. So, I mean, you get on...
Unexpectedly, you know...
You get on the flight and go.
That's right. And then you try and work through all of the things you need to do. He obviously wasn't walking around with the score of the Verdi Requiem in his pocket, so we had to arrange all of that and...
Kept him away from doors.
Kept him away from... Rearranged his schedule for at the end of the week where he was meant to start work in Spain on Monday, and obviously he couldn't. So anyway, a number of things that you have to...
And you're a pro. You know music backwards and forwards. Were you satisfied with the performance?
I thought it was a terrific performance. You know, there are many ways of approaching the Verdi Requiem. Some focus on the Requiem aspect of it and do it in a more... meditative way. Others think of the sort of fury and the drama of the work, and I think that was probably the closer to the approach. He worked very, very well with the singers, I must say. I sat in on all of the rehearsals with piano, and he was very responsive to the tempi that they wanted to take, their breath control, those sorts of things. So he's a real singer's conductor in that sense, that he can really follow them. And I thought it was thrilling, a fantastic concert.
Wonderful.
And there's kind of an excitement just in that moment. I would think the audience is really rooting for a young...
Absolutely. And people like to, you know, imagine that this is, you know, one of those...
Leonard Bernstein moments.
I was there when...
Exactly right.
So when you have a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, that's nice too, though, isn't it?
Look, it's great when everything that you had planned, you know, falls out as you'd hoped, and that it's a great success and we have great weather. And I think that's what we're going to have this weekend, which is a, you know, a sort of real high watermark for us in terms of... the performers and the programs and so on. I'm very excited about this weekend's concerts.
John Kennedy was once described a state of being grace under pressure. Are you grace under pressure?
You have to be, and I think you waste too much time in any other state. You know,
you just have
to get on. You know, and we had last week, Monday, week ago, whenever it was, we had about five major things to resolve, and so we just in our office, with my great team of Ben and Claudia, we just sort of divided up the work a little and got on with it. And Claudia worked on the travel and logistics, and Ben found a base for the Verdi Requiem. And, you know, a little, you just have to work. There's no...
What happened to the base?
Mr. Fulinetto had a very bad cold.
Oh, okay.
These things happen.
They do indeed. Well, so real quick, the schedule for the weekend, as you mentioned, tonight, we're going to have the maestro on in just a moment, but it's Stéphane Deneuve,
yes. Wonderful conductor that we've started
was
to work
last
with.
Last year. Yeah.
Yes, last year, last couple of years, and he's doing... the main part of the program is the Stabat Mater of Poulenc, beautiful work for chorus, orchestra, and soprano solo. So deeply, deeply moving piece, and this is a work that Stefan feels a great affinity with. Beethoven Fourth Piano Concerto with Lars Vogt, who's been with us a number of times before. And then Saturday and Sunday with Charles Dutoit, marvelous conductor that we have a long, long history with, and it's so fantastic to have him here. And doing sort of two of his calling cards, the complete Daphnis and Chloe ballet of Ravel on Saturday night, and then Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring, which this year is 100 years old. And then two great soloists, Lung Lung playing the Beethoven First Piano Concerto on Saturday, and Yo-Yo Ma, of course, on Sunday afternoon doing the Dvorak Concerto. So
Lung Lung told us that he thought Mozart was the greatest composer in history. Do you agree with that?
And then the lights came on.
It's... well, I better not say anything.
Yeah, so don't screw this up.
I look, best, greatest, it's hard to put that down.
But, you know, gun to the head.
Mozart's pretty high up there for me. The gods are all equal in my mind.
Yeah.
Tony Fogg is the artistic administrator of the BSO. For more information on the BSO and, of course, Tanglewood itself and this incredible musical weekend here, tanglewood.org. Tony Fogg, you're the best. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful remainder
and
of the season.
Thanks for all your support. It's greatly appreciated.
Something
Thank
else
you
again.
So much.
Okay.
You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from Tanglewood, the WAMC.